Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with author and Gene Wilder biographer Brian Scott Mednick. Brian was invited a few weeks ago to be the keynote speaker at a pre-50th anniversary of Young Frankenstein in Bethesda, Maryland. This is such a huge honor. I watched the video of the speech and Brian just had such a great rapport with the crowd. They were just laughing and they were just eating every word. He's even got me digging Young Frankenstein now. Oh, and we also talk about the Barbie movie too. Enjoy! I've never been smart with investments or stocks, but one thing I've learned over the years is that an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. If you want to get smart with your money, you can trade smarter and maximize your returns with Trade with UFOs. Trade with UFOs is a brand that represents a community of users trading with predictive tools. You don't have to be good with stocks. They literally hold your hand while you trade, teaching you everything you need to know. You see, Trade with UFOs is also a portal which provides access to predictive apps, courses, and coaching, all to show you how to make money using unfilled orders. Why am I so passionate about this? Because then we'll all have more money in our pockets to buy more art. It's time to get smart with your money. Leverage your success with Trade with UFOs. Go to tradewithufos.com and use my offer code Brooke for a 50% off discount on all of their products. That's B-R-O-O-K-E. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Brooke?
Doing good. Awesome. I watched some of your speech.
Thank you.
That is awesome. So how have you been?
Pretty good. A lot of things going on, haven't you?
Yeah. So you just came back from, when did you just come back from Bethesda, Maryland?
That was about 6 weeks ago. It was November 18th.
Okay. So it was fairly recently.
Yeah.
So it was for the keynote speaker at the pre-50th anniversary screening of Young Frankenstein.
Right.
So what is that? Is that like, who goes to that? Like what is that?
Well, I got an email out of the blue from this lawyer in Washington, D.C., asking me, he said he had read my book and he read the essay I'd written for the Library of Congress's National Film Registry about Young Frankenstein. And he said that he was doing this pre-50th anniversary, because actually December 74 is when the film came out.
Okay.
And he'd like me to be the keynote speaker. And he said he'd pay for my airfare and hotel.
Wow.
And give me an honorarium. And, you know, I'm looking at this long email and, you know, I waited to respond because, of course I was going to do it. You know,
yeah. But,
I wanted to play a little hard to get. So,
right.
You know, and I discussed it with a couple of friends, before I replied and, you know, I got back to him and, you know, I said, yeah, you know, and, you know, we had a couple of phone calls and it was great. I flew into D.C., which I'd only been to Washington, D.C. once on a school trip when I was 14.
Oh, wow.
And most people in New York would take a train to D.C., but I flew and it is much better than a train. It was the most interesting flight because it is so quick from New York to D.C. that I got on the plane and I'm like, oh, there's no screens. We're not going to be watching any movies.
Right.
And then they said there'll be no beverage service because the flight is short. And I'm like, oh. I would have bought a water before I got on the plane. Yeah. And what's really weird is the flight time, when you book it, it said it was going to be like about an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
So it's like a 44 minute flight.
Uh-huh.
It is so quick that as soon as you take off, they already announce we're making our descent.
We're already landing.
Yeah, it's the wackiest thing. I mean, it's such a quick flight. It's great. And you can take a subway ride that takes longer in New York, you know, so to be able to get from New York to D.C. And Reagan National is a great airport. So I had to take a cab to Bethesda, which is about a 35-minute ride from the airport. And Bethesda is a really, really nice place. And as I was going, I passed just all these beautiful, very well taken care of homes.
Yeah.
And got to the hotel and was able to check in right away. And I let my host know that I was there. So we met, we had lunch with him and a friend of his from law school. And, you know, very, very nice. And then we went, I went back to the hotel and I was working on my speech and everything. And really right up until the last minute, like right before I left the hotel, I basically just took a pen and just slashed so much of it, which was good because there was a lot of filler that didn't need to be there.
Right.
And I think it was good because listening back to what I'd said, it's pretty much what you aim for, or at least when you're trying to do the kind of speech that I was doing, which was to be informative, but most of all to be funny.
Uh-huh.
And throughout, there is laughter and giggling and tittering and all that. So it's very
right with you.
It's very consistent, and it was just a great group.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, these were all people I would say in their 40s, 50s, and maybe early 60s. So this was like the perfect age range. They got it. You know, they got everything.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have to explain things to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, met a lot of people beforehand. And afterwards, they came up to me and were very complimentary. And I sold a bunch of books, which was nice. And it was just great. And, you know, you think, oh, being in New York City, you know, oh, it's sophisticated and you know, you meet a lot of intelligent people and all that. No, I deal with I deal with idiots on a daily basis. So Bethesda was seriously like another planet.
Yeah.
These people seriously, they were sophisticated, they were smart, they were not snobby though, they were just really, really great people. And certain things really impressed me. Like if someone makes a film reference from a film, like, and I think I'm the only one who knows that, you know, I get pretty knocked out. And that was the case. And the lawyer who put this whole thing together, his name is John Shortino, very interesting guy, has just a terrific family. His wife was great, and she was a big help putting this together. One of his sons was there, and he's the one who actually recorded what's on YouTube. And it was great. In fact, you know, and then we saw the film, and you know, just to watch the film, and it was projected very well. It was from a Blu-ray disc, but it was projected very well, so it really looked like it was a big screen, you know, theater kind of experience. And it was held at this really terrific little bar called the Barking Dog, and everyone there was just terrific. The bartenders and the managers, everybody. So it was really just a great night. And it was kind of like I was on this high, and in a way I still am.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know, I want to do this more. And I was thinking, you know, next year is really the 50th anniversary of Young Frankenstein and also Blazing Saddles. It's the 50th anniversary of both films. So I'm thinking, you know, where can I do this, you know, kind of thing in other places? And I'm still stumped where else to do this. And, you know, I mean, it was inspiring me, you know, do I go back and do stand up again like I used to?
Right.
And the thing is, I was in a very safe environment. In other words, I didn't have to worry right. that someone was going to get drunk and yell, "Hey, you suck, get off the stage," you know? You know, they all wanted to be there, and they all were in this age range and of this mindset. They were very educated people, very witty people. And, you know, you can't expect that everywhere. Right. Though, if I were to do this kind of thing, you'd attract those kind of people who are interested in the film, who are of a certain age, who are going to get the jokes. Right. So that's if I have any New Year's resolutions, and, you know, aside from the usual ones, it's to try to maybe see if I can find a few people who would indulge me to do this, you know.
You could put on your own screenings.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah,
like rent a movie theater and then just, like, you know, grab a bunch of people, I bet you a lot of people would do it.
Well, I was thinking places like, you know, like maybe like synagogues or things like that, or you know, places that would have an interest in, you know, Gene Wilder or Mel Brooks, or you know, Jewish humor, or those kind of those kind of things. So we'll see. But it was a great experience, and it was like being on an amazing high, and then it's just like once I came back to New York, just like
They don't have Gene Wilder or Young Frankenstein appreciators in New York City.
Oh, I'm sure there are. It's just a matter, I guess, of getting them all together in a room. I mean, he had invited 80 people and 60 showed up. So
Okay.
it was a really good turnout.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really, really cool. Okay, now I'll be honest, I've never seen Young Frankenstein. I've only seen the a clip of the putting on the Ritz number. And to be honest, when I saw it a long time ago, it really freaked me out because I saw it out of context. And I just haven't really thought about it since until today. And so I was reading about it and I was like, this sounds actually very funny. And I kind of am interested in watching it. And I love the whole thing about taking like an old novel or play and putting your own brand on it. And this just sounds hilarious. And
Yeah, it's under 2 hours. I would definitely devote an evening to watching it because it really is one of the great comedies of all time.
yeah.
And very, very well done. And it's one of those films you laugh, even if you've seen it, 50 plus times, as I have, it's still funny. It's still funny. I mean, a lot of people who've seen the film, when the punchline is coming and you laugh beforehand because you know what it is, and it's just so funny. It's
Yeah.
one of those movies, a very quotable film also. There's so many lines from the film that are very, very part of the American cinematic lexicon.
Yeah, and I was what I rewatched the putting on the Ritz clip, and I was really impressed with Gene Wilder's tap dancing skills.
Oh, he was a very good singer and dancer and fencer. He had studied fencing.
Oh, wow.
He was very athletic, and yeah, he could sing and he could dance. And
Yeah.
actually, the putting on the Ritz number was the first. He and Mel Brooks only had two fights in their whole life, and they were both involving Young Frankenstein. And the first was when they were writing, they were working on the script, and Gene wanted to have this scene where he and the monster are, dancing and singing, putting on the Ritz, and Mel Brooks just dismissed it, and he said, "No, Irving Berlin in the 19, no, it
Right,
doesn't make
doesn't
sense."
fit.
And Gene Wilder said, he said, "I got to the point where I was turning purple because, I was so frustrated." And then finally, Mel just said, "All right, we'll put it in." And Gene said, "Why do you make me go through all that?" And he said, "Because you're quiet and you're timid, and if you're going to fight for something this hard, it must be good."
Yeah.
And the irony is, putting on the Ritz number is probably the most famous scene from Young
Yeah.
Frankenstein.
Yeah, totally, totally. Oh, that's awesome. That's a great story.
And it really is a great number. I mean, putting on the Ritz, I don't know if anyone would know that song. I think it made the song popular because that was a very, I guess it was a popular song back in the 1930s,
When
but
it came out. Yeah.
that movie kind of, made it relevant for the last 50 years.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's hilarious. That's really funny. So Mel Brooks says that this is his, and he's done a lot of movies, and he's like a very well-known director, but he said that this is by far his finest, but not his funniest film. What do you think is?
Trying to think what he thinks is, I'm guessing he thinks probably Blazing Saddles is his funniest. I think it's his best film on a technical level. The black and white photography is just beautiful, and they also were able to get the original sets from the old Frankenstein films,
Oh,
so
wow.
it looks like the films that it's parodying, which is
Yeah.
something very rare. They didn't recreate these sets. These are the real sets.
Wow. That's perfect. That's very cool. That's very cool. So okay, now tell me, did you see did was this did you you see this before you kind of started like really getting into Gene Wilder, or did you get into Gene Wilder first and then saw this?
I saw it before I got into kindergarten. No, I saw it in the theater. I was about the film came out in 74, but I saw it. Well, a lot of younger people might not realize that before home video, movies were shown over and over again, even, a couple of years after they came out, they'd show them again. So, movie came out in 74. I saw it probably in 78 or 79. So I was 5 or 6 when I saw it. And I thought it was terrific. I mean, it was black and white. It had all this adult humor, and I loved it. And then as I got older, I started to understand what the jokes meant, and then kept watching it on video and everything, and just became one of my favorite films. So yeah, so I definitely saw the film before I got into my obsession, if you will, with Gene Wilder. But that probably is what started my obsession, because then I saw that, and then I saw Stir Crazy, and then once home video came out, anything that he was in, I'd make my mother rent, and but yeah, Young Frankenstein is probably what started it.
Wow, that's cool. That's really cool. So what so what other what so that was just one of a few, one on a line of things to kind of make you to kind of devote your career to Gene Wilder. So what are some other things?
Well, it also influenced me wanting to pursue a career in film. I went to NYU film school, and it was the films of Gene Wilder and Mel Brooks and Woody Allen and people like that who really inspired me. So, they were big influences.
Wow, that's awesome. That's really cool. So what are some other, and you mentioned a few of them, what are some other films that Gene Wilder has been in?
He did 22 feature films and 4 TV movies. And that's not a lot considering the long career he had. The last 25 years of his life, he had retired from films. So he wasn't making any movies at all. He did a few TV movies, and he did 2 guest spots on Will and Grace that were very well received. He won an Emmy Award, in fact, for Will and Grace. But in terms of he turned down a lot of roles, and he said he never regretted turning anything down. And he was one of these people who he tried to balance his career and his private life, and he wasn't a workaholic, really. He didn't go from one project right to the other, except in 1974, where he did do 4 films, and his first TV movie aired, even though that was filmed a few years earlier. But aside from that, he was doing one movie a year, one movie every other year when he was kind of at the height of his fame. And the ones that most people would will talk about are Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles, and The Producers. Those are the three he did with Mel Brooks. And then there's what's probably my favorite is Silver Streak, which is the first film he did with Richard Pryor, which is just an amazing film. Stir Crazy, which is the second film he did with Richard Pryor. And there was Hanky Panky, which is the film he met Gilda Radner on. And The Woman in Red, which he wrote and directed. And there are a lot of others that aren't as well known. His first two films as a director are, I think, among his best. The Adventure of Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother, where he does use his fencing skills in that film, and The World's Greatest Lover, which is just a really, really funny comedy. And there was Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask, which was Woody Allen's film version of that popular sex manual from the time. And Gene Wilder played a doctor who falls in love with a sheep. And Gene had said it was one of his favorite roles. And what the brilliance of that is that it's a comedy, but you really believe he loves that sheep.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, it's very funny. And of course, there's the film that he said he didn't want. He said, "I don't want my gravestone to say, 'Here lies Willy Wonka,'" but
Yeah.
he's probably best known for playing Willy Wonka. And when he died, all the obituaries, all the news clips, they showed Willy Wonka.
Yeah,
So
of course.
he had no say in his legacy. But as I said in the speech, I think his two best performances are probably Young Frankenstein and Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
So I don't think Willy Wonka is necessarily a bad thing to be remembered for. He just, it was not a favorite of his, the film. And he thought Young Frank, and correctly so, thought Young Frankenstein was the best work he had done. So, I can understand that, but it's very rare that stars are able to control how they're remembered.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's really neat. He's such a great actor. He's such a great actor, and he's been around forever. And I mean his films, his legacy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think you picked a really, really great persona to kind of let to hit your career to. I think
Yeah,
that.
well, book's been out actually this month is 13 years, which
Wow.
seems unbelievable. I mean, it's really like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. So what are you gonna write like another book about but what's next for you?
In terms of writing, I've had my last book came out in 20, trying to think. I think it's 10 years ago. The last book came out 9 or 10 years ago. And I've had a very bad case of writer's block ever since. So,
That
yeah, in terms of writing another book, I haven't found anything where I want to devote a year or two to focusing on that, because that's basically what it is. Although the last book, I had written it over the years in pieces, and then just got to the point where I liked what I had and just wanted to finish it. So that's what I did. But I have ideas. I mean, I'm always coming up with ideas. I'm always writing down
Down.
ideas, and nothing really comes out of it. So most of the writing I've been doing in the last few years is either nonfiction or articles for different websites or publications, mainly on pop culture and the arts and film and stuff like that. But in terms of writing, my big thing, if I could, would be the last book that I wrote, my novel. I really wanted to sell the film rights to, because I think it would make a really, really interesting film. And oddly enough, I met somebody at a party earlier this month who's a terrific, terrific lady. She's a very well-known Broadway producer, and she's a performer, and she's just, I mean, very, very interesting, funny. Just to kind of like in the Joan Rivers realm. And she actually opened for Joan Rivers. I went over to her and I said, "We're Facebook friends, and but we you know and you know I told her about and she, and the irony is she worked with Gene Wilder in Summer Stock.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, they were in the same play at the Westport Country Playhouse in Connecticut back in the early 1960s. It was a play called The Millionaires. Carol Channing was the star, and she said she really didn't have much interaction with him, but I found that really interesting, because I was telling her about the book, and she said, "Yeah, I worked with him in that play." So that was interesting. So we exchanged cards and everything, and I'm going to send her the novel, and also the Gene Wilder book. The play that she was in with him, it's really just mentioned in passing in one sentence, because I really didn't know much about it. And there really wasn't much to say. It was just, a summer stock production. But You know, I'd like to see if she's kind enough to read the book. And it's not a, it's actually a novella. It's a very short novel. It is not, it's not Crime and Punishment. You know, you're not, it doesn't, it's not Barbara Streisand's memoir. It's not 900 pages.
Really? What?
Oh yeah. Barbara Streisand's book is so big. It comes with a warning for senior citizens. Be careful when you pick it up.
Oh my gosh.
That heavy.
Oh my gosh. Well,
in fact, her audio recording of the book, I'm not making a joke, her audio recording of the book is 48 hours.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Who has the time?
48 hours with Barbara? That's a little much.
A little much.
That's for a really, really long car ride. You know, you listen to the audio.
Maybe Linda Richmond on Coffee Talk might listen to it. I can.
Right, see. Right. The book is like butter.
Like butter, indeed.
So yeah. So if this this producer is kind enough to read the book, I'd love to know what her opinion is, and you know if and because I also said I never thought of. Turning it into a play, but I don't know, maybe there is potential. I don't know. But I just think it would make a really good independent kind of film, not a big budget film. This would not be one of these I'm not a fan of these bloated superhero movies. You know, that's just not my thing. You know, I like movies that are about people and you know, real human stories. Although ironically, I just saw Barbie. And I thought, you know, oh well, I was on a plane and I was like, all right, I have nothing else to do, let me watch Barbie. I was knocked out at how clever and well done Barbie was. Have you seen it?
I have not.
This is a movie, the clever thing they did, and I should have expected it because it's directed by Greta Gerwig and it's written by her and her now husband Noah Baumbach. The two were just married, and he's a very talented filmmaker. They didn't make a movie for kids. This is not a movie for little girls. This is a movie for grown-ups.
Okay.
It has a lot of double entendres and adult humor and sex jokes, and the premise that Barbie is living in this dream world and then goes into the real world is brilliant, because when it started out, I was thinking, are they going to really spend 2 hours in Barbie land with all this pink and neon? And then when they get to the real world and back and forth, it is just very, very well done. It opens with a spoof of the opening of 2001. No kid is going to get that. It's very sophisticated. And Ryan Gosling steals the movie. Hysterical as Ken. He is absolutely hysterical. And there was all this talk that he'd get a supporting actor Oscar nomination. I really hope he does, because I don't think there could be a better Ken than the way Ryan Gosling plays him. And the movie also has a lot of musical numbers, and the songs are terrific. Yeah. So I was very, very impressed with Barbie.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's, I mean, I'm not running out to buy the Barbie dolls or the Ken dolls, but I was really really thought it was a terrific film.
Yeah, that's a good plug for it. I had really had no interest in seeing it, even though I was a huge Barbie fan when I was a kid. I had, like, Barbies were my life when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So it would seem natural that I would want to see the movie, but I just never did for some reason. But now I kind of do.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not what you might expect. It's very clever.
Yeah. So that's what you should do. You should start your own, like, TV, like, or not TV, like, movie review podcast or TV show.
Well, not to give you any competition, Brooke, but I am thinking of doing a podcast.
You should. You totally should.
I'm kind of thinking, you know, the format and if there's a theme. The theme would probably be, you know, what you'd expect, celebrities and movies and things like that, show business, Broadway. And I already have in mind people I would try to approach to be my guests. So that's, I think, another goal for 2024 is to, because I mean, a podcast, I mean, everybody has a podcast,
It's
it's
true.
I think there's room for one more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's actually very easy to do. I didn't realize that it's if I can do it, anyone can do it. So yeah, it's not hard at all. So it's definitely worth your pursuing.
Yeah, so that's something that hopefully I'll get off the ground in 2024.
So what are you doing for the rest of the day?
It's starting to get dark here in New York. Been very, very cold. So I'm in for the early evening. And just looking forward to a long weekend, and that's pretty much it. Just relaxing.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, it has been so awesome having you on again. I love
Yeah.
our chats. I love our conversation.
Yeah, always great, Brooke.
Where can people find you?
You can go to my website, which is brianscottmednick.com, and I'm on Twitter or X or whatever it's called today, but I rarely ever post on there. It's B Scott Med at B Scott Mednick, but most all the good stuff is on my website. So links to other things and writing and YouTube stuff. So yeah, definitely go to brianscottmednick.com, and if you're interested in the books, the links to the books are there. All my books are on Amazon.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Brooke. Thanks.
Awesome.
Thank you so much to Brian Scott Mednick for talking movies with me. I'm really excited to see Young Frankenstein now. I'm not sure why I've waited so long. If you like movies, Brian and I do a movie chat about four times a year, and you can catch some past ones on the website, letstalkartwithbrooke.com. Thanks for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production. Music by Corey Knoxville.